Good morning, everybody. Cyprus was formed in 2012, and we operate in two primary lines of business today: pipeline inspection and integrity services, and water and environmental services. The pipeline inspection and integrity business is a great business that's mandated by federal and oftentimes state law. And we operate through two subsidiaries, TIR, our inspection division, and Brown Integrity, our hydro testing division. We inspect all kinds of different energy infrastructure. Doesn't matter what kind of products moving through that, whether it's a gas plant, whether it's a storage facility, processing facility, compression stations, et cetera. And a lot of these activities are integrity work, recurring revenue opportunities. On the water and environmental side, you can't produce hydrocarbons without producing waste or trash, both liquids and solids. And today we operate saltwater disposal wells in both the Bakken and the Permian. The majority of our facilities are in the Bakken. As you would imagine, the two-year downturn had a tremendous impact on our business, as it did almost everybody. And today we're currently only utilizing about 25% of that capacity. For almost the entire country, everybody was building infrastructure, whether it was midstream, saltwater disposal wells, et cetera, to keep up with 2,000 rig count level of activity. When the downturn began, obviously, the molecules, the water, slowed down considerably. So you still have an imbalanced market in a number of places. We have piped water into a lot of the facilities, and we also manage another facility. All of these businesses, again, are required by government regulation. They're essential services. We have a produced water focus as opposed to skim oil and flowback and the water and environmental service. We have 9 pipelines, and in the fourth quarter, we disposed about 37,000 barrels a day versus a capacity of 135,000. So as this rig count continues to climb, as these DUCs get completed, we have tremendous operating leverage where literally there's a very nominal incremental cost of placing a new barrel down an existing well, just a little electricity, a little chemicals. A lot of the pipeline inspection services are required services. There's growing regulatory scrutiny. During the downturn, obviously new construction slowed considerably. Projects were canceled or delayed, and with the election results, we're seeing a dramatic change in the sentiment and the approval processes, entitlement, and so all of that should be very good for our business. We have generally a fixed fee model. We've got substantial diversity across our customer base. Our inspection business operates throughout the United States and in Canada, and we own 51% of our hydro testing business. Over 85% of our customers are investment grade. We have about 125 customers in the water and environmental service. We've got over 150 customers in the pipeline inspection and integrity business. And I'm pleased to say that despite the downturn, we added 40 new customers in 2016 in just the pipeline inspection and integrity business. And this gives you a sense of some of our clients that we do work for. This is a growing business because much like our water, bridges, roads, sewer systems, et cetera, a lot of this infrastructure is old and aging, and there is metal loss and integrity issues that you read about from time to time and well-publicized incidents, and you have a number of things. You've got actually cathodic protection and how that impacts the external wall of a pipe. You've got the corrosiveness of various products that can impact the internal wall. And then when you go to a place like the Permian or other well-developed places, as all these lines cross each other, that leads to additional metal loss and cathodic protection, driving up the need to stay in front of this with a good integrity plan. The life cycle of a pipeline, varies. It depends on the type of product you're moving through that pipeline and the integrity program you run, the cathodic protection, et cetera. But generally, most of the pipe is good for 40 to 60 years. PHMSA requires the liquid lines to be inspected every 5 years, the gas lines every 7 years, but you still have a duty to be a prudent operator. Over on the right, you can see the things we do today in new construction and integrity management. And in the green box are additional things that are covered under our private letter ruling that our customers spend money with other vendors doing that we're looking to expand into either organically or through acquisition or joint venture. This over on the right, again, drills down a little bit deeper into the inline inspection, the non-destructive examination, the data and integrity programs that are becoming increasingly more important, the staking services, construction repair and management. And then again, you can see with the check mark the things we do today versus the things that we would like to do and our customers are looking for. So we generate our revenue typically via a day rate or a weekly rate paid for that inspector based upon their technical skills and qualifications. The good news about this business is we don't hire an inspector unless we've got a client and a job that's billable to put them to work on. So we flex all the time based upon the work that's done. The margins in this business vary significantly. The non-destructive examination, which is using ultrasonic technology, is the same technology that's used to inspect the fuselage of an aircraft or something. It tends to be higher margin. All of the margins are actually camouflaged a little bit because, as you would imagine, these pipelines are scattered all about rural areas. And so we pay our inspectors per diem expenses. GAAP has us run that through revenue, but the business model in the industry is you don't get margin. You're paying banker for free on the per diem expenses. So when you look at our gross margins, they look kind of small, but when you really study the math, it generates very nice free cash flow. Our inspection business started in 2003, had pretty tremendous growth, a five-year CAGR of 24% before the downturn hit. The downturn, needless to say, caused new construction to come to a halt as the whole MLP industry suffered pretty significant duress. And when a client could defer integrity work and kick the can down the road a year, a quarter, a couple years, they did so. So you kind of see that in our revenues. We'll be reporting our Q4 results here in a couple weeks, so we're only showing you the September 30 numbers, but we did update the headcount. The water business, we get paid a fee per barrel for disposal. We also get management fees for third parties. We have pipeline activities. And then we recover oil. They call it skim oil, typically from flowback. And again, you can see kind of what's happened to the average revenue per barrel during the downturn. Over on the far left, you're talking about 2,000 rigs and $100 oil. Over on the far right, you're talking about 400 rigs, 500 rigs, and $40 or $50 oil. So the good news is we've already spent the capital. These facilities have tremendous capacity. We're only using about 25% of the capacity. And we talked a little earlier about the efficiency gains occurring with these rigs and how many linear feet can be drilled. So a level of new well completions that can occur with a far smaller base of rigs is going to lead to growing volumes of water and in turn, higher skim oil prices lead to higher revenue per barrel net economics. This just visually shows you, again, what happened over the last, 4 years. Our facilities are in the Permian and the Bakken. And the good news is you can see the Permian's up 121% from the trough. The Bakken's up 64% from the trough. But you can also see how we went from 198 in Williston down to as low as 22 rigs. The increased level of activity associated with the OPEC Accord and the stabilization in commodity prices has led to a good opportunity with these DUCs, drilled in uncompleted wells. So within 15 miles of our facilities, we now have over 514 DUCs. For those of you not familiar with it, whether an oil and gas well is as an $8 million well or a $4 million well or a $3 million well, it depends on vertical, horizontal, depth, et cetera. But a drilled and uncompleted means typically half the capital's already been spent. So these are the first wells that a producer, when prices rise, will spend to complete because it's 50-cent dollars to begin flowing the molecules. We've got a significant number of growth opportunities and a supportive sponsor. Obviously, acquisitions are something we're always looking at. Our broad private letter ruling from the IRS allows us to do some things that are pretty interesting. So we're looking at inline inspection, pigging, lighter, nitrogen services, as well as water and environmental and chemicals. We also have looked at and would like to add a third leg under the chair of traditional midstream, and we've bid on midstream assets as large as $1 billion. We would have to, of course, do that up at our holding company and then drop those assets into the MLP over time on a friendly and appropriate terms. We also have the ability to grow organically in all of these segments. And we've again talked about the utilization and how quickly that cash flow grows. The water business at its peak had about $15 million of cash flow. At its trough, it went to $3 million. So obviously, a 20% growth rate sounds like a lot, but when you're growing off, small math, it's not that hard to accomplish. This is just a brief timeline. Our sponsor supported the dividend during the downturn. So we came out at a 7.75 yield. We traded down to as low as a 6% yield. We had three unplanned dividend increases, and then OPEC did what it did in November of 14. We've held the dividend constant through that period of time. Like every MLP, our yield elevated, and we trade today at about a 12.5% or something like that yield. We were a little late to probably adjust our cost structure during the downturn. We didn't believe it would last as long as it did, the 2 years. But we did finally take action last summer, and we took about $5.5 million of annualized cost out. So we're beginning to see the impact and the better cost structure. We've got a flexible, solid balance sheet. We've got a $200 million credit facility with a $125 million accordion. You can see kind of the different capacity levels. At the end of September 30, we had about $25 million in cash. That cash number is higher, and again, we'll be releasing that soon. We never had to go to our banks and seek an amendment or a covenant waiver. And we resisted the temptation to overpay for assets and do dumb deals, which so many people did in 2013 and 2014. They did acquisitions just to feed the beast and grow their dividend. And you can do an accretive deal, but we own a substantial amount of this company, and so we think like owners, and we're only interested in making good investments that will long-term be accretive, not some gimmickry for a quarter or two. This gives you a look at the historical EBITDA, DCF, and operating income. We troughed in Q1 of 16. We've been sequentially improving each quarter since then in all of our businesses. And then this graph on the bottom kind of shows you us in blue, the AMZs, the Alerian MLP Index in red, and then WTI. And you can see the interesting correlations to the whole sector and WTI in particular. This just gives you a little more specifics, revenue and adjusted EBITDA on the top, water and environmental on the right, inspection integrity services, and then pipeline inspection and integrity services. This is the same thing year to date through September 30, and again, the Q4 results will be coming out in a couple weeks, and again, we've been digging out of the trough now for several months. This is just a reconciliation, taking it from EBITDA to DCF. There's a little bit of complexity. We have a joint venture partner in the hydro testing business and so forth. So that's the end of the presentation. Any questions? Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about your market share in these categories, or competition, potential for margin expansion, depending upon the oil price?
Yeah, so the margin expansion opportunity varies in each line of business. So the water business has the greatest margin expansion opportunity because we took a lot of cost out. It was a painful downturn for the 2 years, but still a great business. It's got very large free cash flow margins, very substantial gross margins. Because we only have incremental cost associated with chemicals and electricity, each new barrel that comes in drops down at a 95% plus rate. So you will see material uplift. At our peak, we had 75-80% type EBITDA margins and 70% free cash flow margins in the water business. At our trough, you know, it maybe got down to 30-35%, which is still a very good business by any metric in the energy sector. The pipeline inspection and integrity business has a new construction element to it. It has a maintenance and integrity element to it. We decided to pivot during the downturn and focus on PUCs, public utility companies, that bring natural gas to our homes, this building, et cetera, because they aren't exposed to commodity price. So they've got to do their integrity work. Whatever they spend, they get to pass through to you and me, the ratepayer, and a rate increase. So during the year, we added 40 new customers. We also grew our PUC business to, again, we didn't know OPEC was going to reach an accord in November of 16, and we'd be looking at $53 oil and a new president and so forth, which have all been great for the energy business. So that business, depending upon which facet we're doing, does have room for margin expansion and growth. Your other question was, I'm sorry? Yeah. So competition varies in each and every segment. So in the water business, the competition is different in a neighborhood-by-neighborhood basis. So I like to use the analogy of a power shopping center in the neighborhood you might live in. It might have a grocery store. It might have a liquor store. It might have a, you know, a barbershop, et cetera. And then you've got the surrounding community, and where is that next option for somebody to go to the drugstore or get their groceries? The same thing exists in the water business. The water business got overbuilt during the downturn, so there is still too much capacity. But probably the biggest competitor is the E&P company themselves that decides to build their own saltwater disposal wells, their own gathering systems, and capture all of those economics themselves as opposed to outsourcing it. So our 10 different facilities, the competition varies in each of those little communities, and in some cases it might be the E&P company themselves. Occidental, for example, you know, builds their own SWDs. Anadarko builds their own SWDs. In other cases, there might be very limited competition for 20 or 30 miles, therefore we're going to get all of the water. And in some cases, there might be a competitor nearby, and depending upon whether the water is moved via truck or pipe, the answer would be different. So there's no real good single sound bite for water. In the hydro testing business, there's about three people we compete with. We think we've got one of the leading market shares in it. But you also do have some general contractors that do construction where the owner of the pipeline will allow them to perform their own hydro test on their work. We don't think that's going to continue very long. The government may outlaw because it's like auditing your own work and not having an independent third party make sure that the integrity is there. In the traditional pipeline and inspection business, there's probably 20 competitors, but we believe we've got the single largest market share of an individual inspection firm. Some of them are public C corps that do all kinds of inspections. So they might do nuclear and wind and electric, and they've got a energy vertical. Some of them would be pure play energy inspection firms, but there's probably four or five of them that make a difference. The most important thing is our available audience of clients is well over 1,000. So it's every energy E&P company that owns gathering systems and pipelines and gas plants and storage facilities. All that stuff has to be inspected, and a lot of it's aging. And there's, you know, 1,000-plus E&P companies. Then you've got the 120 MLPs, many of which, you know, you're hearing about today that own, you know, all kinds of pipelines. And then you've got about 130 PUCs, public utility companies, that are regulated gas providers. So that's the available audience. We're only serving about 100 of them. So there's a lot of opportunity to grow relative market share, and it's just hand-to-hand combat, you know, trying to get an MSA and displace an incumbent inspection provider. Yes?
I'm a current stockholder. This morning I heard you talk about looking at other alternative investments besides the two sectors you're in.
Yes.
It would seem to me that given your size, given the potential of these two businesses, that you ought to sit back and wait for the market to come to you. Dave, like I say, you're in two good businesses and you're a small company, so how do you rationalize looking at other businesses?
Sure. No, that's a fair question. So I think, you know, our actions speak louder than words, in that we stuck to our knitting when people were paying stupid prices to buy SWD facilities and other things. We didn't go overpay for assets. We like both of the businesses we have today, and both of them have the ability to grow both geographically, relative market share, and they don't require a lot of CapEx. So having said that, we've always wanted to place a couple other legs under the chair in addition to those two legs, and we have opportunistically looked at acquisitions. Now, we're not going to use our currency at the current elevated yield and do something dilutive that doesn't make sense. So those are things we do up at the general partner and the holding company, and then ultimately feed them into the MLP over time. But we're still remaining very disciplined. So I'd say we spend 80% of our time trying to organically grow our existing businesses and partner with our clients to provide them incremental services, some of the things I showed you up there that we're not offering. But we also would like to be in the chemicals business, which we have in our private letter ruling. And when you think about it, it's a very natural fit. Every single one of our E&P companies, it's the razor blade of the razor. They spend money every single day on chemicals for the life of that oil and gas well to deal with bacteria and paraffin and surfactants and so forth. So it's a nice high-margin business. It's low CapEx. Every one of our midstream customers that owns pipelines spends money on chemical cleaning and so forth. And then our SWDs, of course, we have to spend a fair amount of money on chemicals to protect those well bores and so forth. So it's a nice business. It fits well. We just haven't found something that makes sense to buy at the multiples that people have commanded. So we'll probably build that business from scratch. The traditional midstream business anything we can do to be involved and benefit our businesses. So let's say we find a private equity sponsor who's got a big acreage block, and he wants to quad pipe that acreage. And when I say quad pipe, you know, water, gas, fresh water, and produced water, or oil, I'm sorry. If we can be the partner and get an acreage dedication and go build that out privately up at the GP, wait till it's cash flowing and drop it in, and that will benefit our water segment. If we can pick up their pipeline inspection and integrity, if we can, you know, offer them chemicals. So that's kind of the strategy behind it. Yes?
Could you say what you think Keystone will do for you guys?
It could be fantastic. TransCanada is a major client of ours. I've got about 200 inspectors working in Canada right now for them. And, I believe that project has a high probability of happening. It should happen. And so, that could be something wonderful. But we'll just have to see. Well, they're gearing up to be able to build a project, and to gear up, they've got to, you know, deal with all the logistics of the food chain, of which inspection and integrity is one of them. But yeah, we'll see how the politics play out. But there's no doubt that in this first 5 weeks, a lot of good things have happened to the energy industry, and in particular, pipelines. With this new administration, and that's going to lead to a lot of additional work, and I think we're very well positioned to take advantage of that work. Okay, thank you.